Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. It is crazy how good the Braves have been playing as of late. We're going to talk plenty about that with Grant McCauley coming up in about 30 minutes, guys. Braves win again today, Mike. Before we get into some Falcon stuff, we will talk about our Hawks, guys. NBA draft tonight, and the Hawks are potentially discussing a trade with the Spurs. Rumors are out there. I don't start them. I just talk about them once they're out, and we will see where this goes. But, Mike, let's real quick recap on the Braves because they played earlier this afternoon. Many folks maybe just getting in the car or joining the show, however you're accessing us. Thank you. Braves got out to an early start. Dansby was hot today. But then this became a kind of on your edge of your seat kind of situation for us, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit of a war of attrition there at the end. But Dansby and Travis d'Arnaud at the top of the lineup, a combined 6-for-9 today. And Dansby with the two home runs again, multi-home run game. They stake Kyle Wright to a 5-1 lead. Actually, it was a 7-1 lead. And Carl, he started just chipping away. It was a little ugly there for a minute. Kyle Wright does get the win, his 8th of the season. Chavez came to relief, did a fantastic job. And then Will Smith and Kenley Jansen both gave up earned runs. Jansen gave up a tape measure home run to Jock Peterson that, as we joked around earlier, nearly landed in the pool at the Omni. It was a blast. I mean, somebody riding a bullet to PBR bar, Carl, that might have ricocheted right into you over there. But it was a Giants comeback that really had you on edge, but the Braves hold on to win 7-6. And you said Dansby really was the show. Ozuna with RBIs. Michael Harris again doing his thing, just coming through. But Dansby taking over to 302, Carl, right now with the average.
Yeah, he's playing out of his mind right now. And, you know, it's hard for me to look at Dansby. A few weeks ago, I asked you guys if he should be the all-star starter. I've asked other people, and everybody kind of is reluctant to say yes. I don't know why. He's playing and carrying at times this team. We don't win last night or today without his effort. His fielding has been great. And I think at this point, if you're a Braves fan and you've not voted or you have, vote for Dansby to be the all-star starter. There's no reason he shouldn't be. There's nobody right now in the National League that's playing better than him at his position. It's just that simple. Somebody may have more brand name value.
Like Trey Turner.
Correct. But they ain't playing better than him. Not right now. So on this 14-game run and the fact that now you go back and you're looking at this and you're going, man, the Braves are hot. Yeah, because we've won now 18 of our last 21 games. So this is part of this makeup of this run we've been on. And, Mike, where are we at right now with the Mets? Mets play tonight. They play the Marlins?
That is correct. So right now, guys, again, you're picked up a half game on the Mets because they're idle until tonight. But I'll tell you what, man, you're chipping away. Now, I don't know how the Mets are going to do tonight, but right now, guys, going into tonight's action, the Braves are just 4 games back. And you took 3 out of 4 from a good Giants team, and then the Dodgers are coming up next, and all that's going to come on. Again, it's going to be so much drama. The network's going to be covering it with the Freddie return and everything else.
All right, guys. Robinson just hit me up, Robinson Santana. He says, Dukes, I want your Braves in October in the boogie down Bronx, best team in baseball. He goes on to talk about Yankees Braves. Mm-hmm. Robinson, I'd love to see it. We got a long way to go, but Yankees are playing great. We got to finish our division. We got to get in and make sure that we're going to be, you know, atop of this division. But listen, there's no reason to think that might not be possible.
Hey,
you know?
It would be big for the networks. I haven't done that since, what, 1999?
Yep.
Obviously, that was a sweep for the middle of the Jeter, Joe Torre Braves. By the way, Mets are off today. They're down in Miami, I should say, tomorrow, Carl, tomorrow.
Okay. Okay, cool. So we're still at, what, four and a half?
4 games.
All right, guys, more on the Braves coming up. Let's switch gears, talk about the Falcons. Dates are out. Flowery Branch, and nobody is going to cover the Falcons like we do on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home for Falcon football. Rookies report July 19th, veterans report July 26th. Now, there are different reporting dates for different teams based on coaches, new coaches, etc. But, Mike, this is the deal for our team. And so vets report, and then we know. We're talking about July, guys. So next week, we're literally a month out from the start of camp because the vets will report on the 26th. That's a Tuesday, and then camp actually starts that Thursday, Friday, and then we get into it, and it's go time. So I cannot wait, but the date's official now, reporting dates, and they're out for all the teams, whether you're a Cowboy fan or the Broncos or the Green Bay Packers. All the dates are pretty much the same for the most part. You know, like Tampa, for example, they're going to report, veterans report on the 28th. It's just a little couple of, you know, days difference, but at the end of the day, everybody's going to get the same amount of work in.
Yeah, man, and really looking forward to seeing how this quarterback battle is going to go down. I mean, hopefully Ritter can show out. But again, if you missed the conversation earlier today, we're speaking with Josh Kendall from The Athletic. He thinks that, you know, Mariota certainly with the experience and, again, more confident with him. But then again, still a lot of question marks, a lot of variables. The offensive line, you're going to be looking at battles for guard and center, maybe for right tackle in this preseason. Not to mention how many of those rookies can impress. He was a little more lukewarm on the rookies, but still thinks this team is a year away for really being a serious contender.
Yeah, and I thought his comments, you know, earlier with our conversation with Josh Kendall from The Athletic, when he said Dean Pease, if he's still around, we kind of take that for granted because he came back out of retirement, you know, to help coach Arthur Smith. He still enjoys coaching, but this is not what he's used to. I mean, this guy's been a part of a lot of winning organizations and a lot of winning defenses. So I'm sure he's kind of going through it right now. But, Mike, you know, Josh was like, we expect him to be around. Is he going to be here in 2 years?
Well, he's no spring chicken, but he did seem to be a little more energized. And he's like, everyone loves talking to him. He's like, everybody's like favorite uncle, right?
He is.
You know, the defense, a little more complex for some guys last year, better players this year. I mean, you could argue, even though this was a year where we got the biggest dead cap hit in NFL history, we still have I think we got better up front in the front seven. Debo is still the Falcon, guys. I know we've all, I guess we've kind of eliminated from our mind, right? He's going to be traded. He is still on the Falcons roster. Secondary got better. I know it's a veteran opposite A.J. Terrell, but you could argue you're better in some of the key spots on defense. Now, you do lose Foye Luikin, who had more tackles than anybody last year.
I still think Debo may not be here. I can't put my finger on it completely, but I still think he may not be here.
Doesn't seem to fit the new, bigger style of guys we're going for, does he?
Well, and, you know, again, coming off the injury, so he hadn't been able to practice, which, you know, again, is not a big deal when you're a vet, as big of a deal, should I say, but it's still something. I'm not going to count this out yet. We'll see where we're at. We'll see how the linebacking group looks. But, Mike, it's really going to depend on if you just want to flat out release him, which, okay, if you're going to do that, you know, you're only saving about $1 million. If you want to trade him, then what are you getting, you know, in return? And what kind of draft pick are you getting in return for him?
Right.
I want to see where that goes. I don't know if that's resolved or not yet. We'll wait to see, but I still think that's a possibility. I do.
Yeah, I know that we picked up some dudes, a little bit bigger size-wise. You know, and it's more of the kind of the prototypical guy that he's looking for. Talking about Dean Pease. Loves Rashawn Evans, who we got from the Tennessee Titans. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option. Maybe he can, you know, kind of, again, him and Carter. Can they give us a little something? These guys are still in their mid to late 20s, Carl.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the thing. If they want to continue earning paychecks in the NFL, they are going to be motivated. These are like almost like mini-contract years for these guys we picked up. I know you're saying, yeah, whatever. These are guys that, you know, hype. Carter was, what was, I mean, they're both decent size of picks. Rashawn Evans was a first rounder. So either way, I don't know if Debo is going to be here. I just kind of, in my mind's eye, you trade him now, you could maybe lock in a squid real quick. Bo Morgan, our producer. Can we get a third rounder for Debo for next year's draft? Or is it, I mean, because if he moves and trades, if he signs with somebody else, it's a compensatory pick, and that's anywhere that slates from all the way down to sixth.
Well, cutting him doesn't make sense because of the salary cap ramifications. Yeah, I'm sure you could. I think, once again, we are too close to situations where we think guys aren't as good as what they really are. His contract is one thing that, you know, that is a cap hit. But
he's not worth $20 million on this team.
I don't.
To me.
Look, we got to remember last year, he still played at a pretty high level, and we asked him to do things, and we moved him to do out of a position he had played. So he was in a different realm, but I don't know what you could get with him. The fact that his injury situation with the shoulder or whatever, the cleanup, and the fact that, you know, they've waited this long, that's why I'm kind of resolved to the fact that he's going to be here unless he is traded at the end of camp for a team that needs a linebacker with someone that went down.
And that's a good point by Bo, because and that's where you could then perhaps, Carl, fourth rounder, third rounder, best.
Yeah. By the way, the salary cap ramifications, here's the thing about this. Big picture. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. If you're going to do it this year. You're already in the hole. So if you're telling me you save $1 million and, okay, you add on to what we already have, we weren't spending that money anyway. So my point is, if you feel like, and I'm talking about the Falcons organization, that he doesn't necessarily fit or whatever the situation may be, this is the year to do it. You don't wait till next year just because you're worried about it. We are in the hole. So I think big picture, you go, we're going to move on. We'll take $1 million play. You know, we save $1 million, whoop-de-doo, but we'll take whatever cap hit it is because we're already there. I think next year with the money that's involved, how we get out of this hole, it's going to correct itself. But that's the reason why, Bo, I'm not as worried about that aspect as I am, does he just fit what they want to do? And if he doesn't, then you got to make a decision. But you're right about later in camp, maybe he comes, maybe he's a part of it, and then a trade does happen. Guys, the only reason we're talking about this is Dukes and Bell, is this has been one of those lingering things we've been kind of wondering about. Grady's been taken care of. That's a done deal. Everybody else, for the most part, that you thought would be here is still here. This is the one piece, Mike, to Mike's point, about the money he's making, and you wonder about the fit. If in fact he works in this 3-4 defense that Dean Pease has, that's the question mark.
Well, again, he's been injured, has not been able to practice this year. Again, Isaiah Oliver's been banged up, but slowly coming back too, by the way. He'd be slot in the slot, by the way, or the nickel, I should say. But yeah, it's nothing against Debo, but it seems like this thing's kind of become a foregone conclusion in the mind, at least of us and some Falcon fans out there. But $20 million, he's just not worth, to me, he's just not worth a $20 million paycheck.
No, Mike, listen, and I think if you look at this defense, you know, you've argued about the overall makeup of the defense, and you've got a guy who's getting that, and what kind of impact is he having? You know, it's a fair question. I wish we knew what Dean Pease thought, but we don't right now. And we will once camp starts and everything starts shaking out. Hey, man, coming up, we've got to talk about what's going to happen tonight with the NBA draft. Also, you'll hear from Woj talking about Hawks' potential trades coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
NBA draft tonight, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Mike, where are we going, man? Pick 16. What are we doing? Are we keeping this pick? What are we doing?
I'm going to want to live, Carl. Say we're going to draft a pretty tall guy.
Yeah, I think so, Bob.
That's right. I think, you know, you can never have too much height in the NBA. Isn't that right, Neek?
Yeah.
Just a lengthy guy with long arms and big feet. I think that's what I'd be going for.
Well, you're going to have your choice of those guys.
Isn't that right, Stinger? That's right, Bob. Big feet.
big feet.
I mean, look, I'm like you. I don't care. If I get a package, I'd rather give up more draft picks and John Collins to go get some of these guys we've been rumored to be getting this way. Again, there's been so many rumors, but there's a couple that dropped last night that we really like.
Yeah, and let's talk about this, because before we get to the draft part of this, and I don't know if we keep the pick or not, but the Hawks, allegedly, potentially the Spurs, according to reports out there, and I've seen a couple now, but this is going back to earlier in the day, that a deal is centering around Hawks forward John Collins, okay, and Spurs all-star guard DeJounte Murray. And the report is that they want more than just Collins, all right? They want a blockbuster deal. So you would be giving up Collins, potentially another player that they could use immediately, and then multiple draft picks. Guys, we have the currency to do this. But, Mike, I love the idea of getting Murray in return because of the things that he brings. This guy is averaging 21, 22 a game. He can give you 25 or 30 on any given night.
Right.
8 rebounds, 9 assists. So he can do it all, and he plays D. So you talk about the wing guys that we're concerned about, like Hunter and some of these other players. This guy comes in immediately and makes your team better.
Well, I mean, I did not know as much about DeJounte Murray until I started looking at the numbers, to your point. And then you said, well, remember we had talked months ago or weeks ago about Donovan Mitchell wanting out of well, Donovan Mitchell didn't play any defense either, so that wouldn't help you. This guy, you just laid it out, can play defense. He's 6'4". He's athletic. It makes us more dynamic. And we had to explain to a couple of Hawks fans on Twitter today, this is not a guy watching Trey. This is a guy on the floor with Trey.
Yeah.
But the only thing was, two things. Why would the Spurs give him up? And would Nate know actually how to use Trey and this guy at the same time on the floor?
Well, it's a good question, because we talked about Nate earlier today. And for those who missed it, we simply said there's pressure on everybody to be better. We can't just dismiss the fact that, well, he don't have the players. Coaches, great coaches make great players better. They just do. And I think Nate has a challenge, no matter what this team's going to look like moving forward, to not only make Trey better, but the pieces that come in around him. As far as trades, let's hear from Wojnarowski, because this is a Woj comment earlier today talking about trades, and he mentioned our Hawks, what they could potentially do. Here's Adrian Wojnarowski from ESPN.
They want to make some significant moves around the draft, free agency. John Collins, I think he's more than just available. I think he's likely to move in a deal coming up here, whether it's draft night, whether it's later on. But listen, they may end up keeping that 16 pick. It doesn't necessarily have to be part of a draft night trade, but Travis Schlenk, their general manager, ownership, there's a real determination there to try to improve this roster. I think virtually everybody on that roster is available, except for DeAndre Hunter and, of course, Trae Young. I think everybody else probably willing to talk to you about. And there's certainly a lot of interest in John Collins, who could step in as a 4-5 man, for a lot of teams and put up 20 and nearly 10. So I think you'll see the Hawks continuing to try to do some deals, and that may extend even beyond draft night.
Yeah, I mean, 20 and 10 if it's a regular season.
You talking about JC?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As for as many reservations as I have about DeAndre Hunter, it sounds like they have him as a pillar in this organization.
Not going anywhere, right?
No. As much as I have my reservations, and the reservations are, can you be consistent and give me what you gave me at the end of the season? Just take the microcosm of the last game against the Heat, where he did almost everything.
And can you play 70 games in a season at least?
It's fair. So if he is a pillar and he's not going anywhere and Trey's not going anywhere, and that's what we're saying, those two are not going to get traded. I told you Okongwu was another guy they absolutely love, and I don't expect Okongwu to go anywhere anyway. You're not paying him anything right now. He's a guy that's still coming, and, as far as minutes and all that stuff is concerned. Point is, guys, JC, and we've been telling you this, is probably going to get moved if they make a deal. If they don't, it doesn't mean that a deal's not coming. So even though tonight Mike Conti, Andy Bunker, our man Deshaun Tate, they will have you covered coming up at 7 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in regards to the Hawks draft party, and they'll keep you updated on all the picks and everything that's going on. But even if it's not tonight, Mike, this deal could happen next week when free agency starts or even after that. So I don't know when that foundation is going to be laid, but usually these things happen because you use draft picks to do it. It's tonight might be the night.
And one thing about the NBA draft, it is kind of a drag because, the guy will come out on the stage, he'll put on the hat for whatever the respective team is, and then, some 4 or 5, picks later, wait a minute, the Indiana pick is now going to Memphis, and it's like, all right, well, he's not going to be there. So that's something you might see. We may, just like with the Luka trade, we might actually pick somebody up, and he's not going to be here. You and I have spoke about Jalen Williams, small forward from Santa Clara. A lot of guys have us taking him. He's ESPN's got that, us at 16. I mean, I'd rather package all this stuff to get established guys. I'm not waiting 3 years or more to see what these dudes are about.
You're going to hear coming up at 6 o'clock Bruce Pearl talking about Jabari Smith. It looks like he may be the number one overall pick. Again, and this stuff is subjective, right? How many times we talked about, Steph Curry went 7th. What about those 6 teams that didn't pick Steph Curry? You just don't know. It is what you think you need. But in this day and age of shooting and stretch 4s and 5s, Jabari Smith, 6'10", and Bruce Pearl talks about it. We'll let you hear it coming up. But, Mike, it looks like he may go to the Magic. The Oklahoma City Thunder have the next pick, and the big kid from Gonzaga, Chet Holmgren, may go there if he doesn't go 1 overall, and maybe those two things switch. And then you got the Rockets with the 3rd pick. Banchero sitting there, they'd be silly not to take him, and then Jaden Ivey for the Kings at 4, and then your top 5. This is the top 5 picks, and then the Pistons. And then they go Keegan Murray from Iowa, who's a power forward center. He's really talented. After that, if you were to tell me we could maybe go grab one of those guys, I just don't know if one of those guys makes us immediately better right now.
I'm with you, bro. To me, all these picks, and again, it's unless you are look like the last what 5 or 6 drafts. Bridges, the draft where we got Trey, and that's a great draft. I mean, Luka, Trey, I mean, all those guys contributed. And then
Ja
Morant, yep. You know, and then you look at Anthony Edwards, you know, who quickly became the man up there in Minnesota. But that's few and far between. So I'm just you're looking at, especially in those mid-round picks. Now, John Collins, give Travis Schlenk all the credit. 19th overall, that worked out to be a really nice pick for us. You know, Herter was a nice pick. You know, I mean, Okongwu was kind of a no-brainer. Now you look back at it in the top 10, but it's still a lot of development, and I'm not looking to spend time on that. Hell, how are we going to develop the guys we're going to draft this year when I can't even get Sharif Cooper on the floor in Nate McMillan's offense? So that's why I just think go with – you package this to get established guys fans will want to see that you know, and then we'll fill in the blanks for the worker bees like the P.J. Tuckers of the world. That's another thing we need is to get tougher.
Yeah, we do. Do you guys think – and I'm asking our listeners – that even if we keep the 16th overall pick, the value of that. Now, you still want to add depth. And I will say this. The reason why when you look at, okay, the Hawks are going to keep this pick, and let's just say we draft a power forward as potentially projected. Mm-hmm. The reason you're doing that is because you're going to lose one in John right. Collins. So Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, if that's the guy, then, you know, you're going to gain another power forward by, you know, addition, subtraction. That's really what that's about. It's not about Jalen Williams coming in here and being John Collins or starting immediately. So that's part of this, Mike. It is a numbers game, but it's also I got to find more talent around Trae Young, and I just don't think that's going to happen tonight.
Hey, now, Agbaji, if he's not taken anywhere but 14 or 15, maybe you remember him from Kansas in the Final Four. Yeah, I mean, he's 22.
Yes.
You know, and he's big. I mean, that would check all the boxes, but, you know, we're kind of in that no man's land, and then we're going to further take more things to move to get up in the draft. That's why I just don't think it's going to be a priority. And then again, maybe, but we don't know because, again, I don't even know who's making the decision tonight for the Hawks, to be honest with you.
Come on. It's
you don't even
manager.
Know. It just, the audio just squelched. You don't even know who the guy's going to be.
It's Landry Fields.
Is it Landry? Is it Schlenk? Is it I mean, now we're doing this Dan Quinn Dimitroff thing again. Who's making the decision?
No, listen, he's got the GM title. I'm going to say these are going to come from him, and these are decisions that he will be making with the draft and moving forward with trades. I will tell you, though, that everybody else is probably involved.
Okay.
What that looks like, I don't know. I mean, are they all sitting there smoking cigars and drinking bourbon? I don't know. But they're involved. I do think everybody that has been involved in this process will continue to be involved. But if you're telling me after the pick tonight, Landry Fields comes out and addresses the media and says, hey, here's why we took this guy, then it's his pick. He's the GM.
All right. I just want to get back.
You don't like it?
I want to get, I don't
You don't like
know.
It?
I mean, I don't understand the timing. I mean, you and I, and again, we've always had a good rapport with Travis. You hear him on the morning show and stuff. I just found it curious as right before the draft is he kind of kicks himself upstairs. And I got to be honest with you, I don't like it. I mean, maybe it's much to do about nothing, and it's a streamlined position, and everybody's on the same page, but I still don't understand why this happened when it happened.
Okay.
That's just
Maybe we'll get a chance to ask him, Mike. I mean, you know. That's something that I think Hawks fans maybe want to know.
Right.
All right, guys.
Hey, by the way, we did the strong arm story. We're going to talk more about this in the sixth, but there was a big decision made in college football today, too, that affects the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, we'll definitely get to it. Coming up, we'll go around the yard. Grant McCauley's going to stop by. Braves win again. We've now won 3 of 4 in this series. Dodgers coming in. Oh, lots to talk about with Grant coming up next. Hmm.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Series champion Atlanta Braves.
Champions!
On Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Oh, the Braves playing really good baseball right now, and our man Grant McCauley is here to talk with us, Braves reporter. You listen to him from the Diamond on Sundays from 5 until 7 right here on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Grant, before we talk about today, Mike and I spent a little time today because the game was on, obviously, earlier this afternoon, talking about last night. How exciting was that win last night? It had a playoff atmosphere to it, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I really felt like this whole series kind of had that atmosphere to it because – you know, we talked for so long about, you know, when are the Braves going to get tested? How are they going to do against these good teams that also want to go to October and that have been to October recently? We kind of got our answer in this Giants series. I mean, this was back and forth, a lot of excitement. The two walk-off wins, of course, the last night was an extremely exciting one. And then being able to, I think, get two other different kinds of games in there where you kind of went back and forth in a slugfest. Sure, it didn't go your way. And then in the finale, you went out there and you made it happen even without your A guys in the lineup. And I think there's a lot to take from this, and all of it seems to be pretty overwhelmingly positive for what the Braves were able to do to start this homestand against a very good club.
Everybody's clutch. Everybody's contributing. You know, we've talked about Duvall, obviously, Arcia, Michael Harris. Again, we'll talk about today's game coming up. But Dansby is unbelievably on fire. At age 28, I always wondered, you know, when you're the first guy taken in the draft, I mean, shouldn't you be a guy that's doing this? Well, he's doing it, Grant. And what is his contract going to look like as he's just hit the 302 average mark today?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think one that with every passing day seems to make you feel like that Dansby has picked a very good time to have a career year. Not that you pick those things. He certainly didn't pick any year to have a bad year, but he's putting it all together at a very important time for the Braves and a very important time for him because, you know, this is a club that there have been some changes, obviously, to the way, and we'll talk about this weekend, I'm sure, with Freddie Freeman coming back. And the big question about, you know, what's the personality of the club going to look like? How are they going to all come together? Who's going to be the leader of this team? I think very quietly and very much with the on-the-field performance, Dansby Swanson has kind of stepped into that void. And it's been a great season for him. There's no straight line path for development for guys. I mean, most first-rounders, and especially number one overall picks, they're going to come with an extreme amount of expectations. A lot of other players never have to live under that microscope. And I think Swanson's done a nice job of, you know, growing throughout his career. And this year, and even today, Brian Snitker was saying, this is mentally the toughest player that I've ever been around. And that's saying something after 4.5 decades in the game. And I don't think that that's just something he's saying just to say it. I think that Dansby has done a nice job of, you know, really trying to live through that hype and rise, obviously, to the expectations. And for whatever reason, timing, it just has shined on the year 2022, and it's looked awfully good. And he's been the Braves MVP, and I don't even think there's really a debate for that to this point in the year.
I agree with you. I also say, Grant, I think you should start in the All-Star game. I mean, there's nobody at his position playing better. There may be guys who have brand names that maybe more people know, but nobody's playing better right now than Dansby at shortstop.
Not on both sides of the ball. I think that Dansby's defensive value adds only, you know, it just sweetens his resume that much more. And I know that it's happening in Dodger Stadium. Trey Turner is having a good year, if not a great year. But I feel overall that Dansby Swanson has a clear case to start at the All-Star game at shortstop if he can win the fan vote. But either way, I mean, at this point, his ticket to the All-Star game should be rubber stamped. He's done everything he needs to do to be there, and there's a great honor in being on that team. It would be even better to see him start, and we'll see how it all plays out. Braves fans can obviously play a big role in that over the coming weeks and see if they can't get Dansby that start because it all comes down to the fan vote to begin with. But being on that club, I mean, that's still a heck of an honor.
It is our man Grant McCauley, guys, as the Braves got off to a 1.71 lead. Kyle Wright started to wobble a little bit. The bullpen was a little shaky. It was kind of like Chinese water torture as they were chipping away at the lead, kind of like the way we chipped away the other night in this series.
Yeah, it was, and I feel like that's kind of the hallmark of a good team, isn't it? When, you know, you may get down early, but you don't have to get them all back at one time. And I think the Giants kind of proved that with what they were doing in this particular day. And Kyle Wright on a hot day where it just didn't seem like he had his location where he needed it to be or wanted it to be. The Giants beat the shift a bunch of times in the first inning, so you kind of got the feeling like, okay, it's going to be one of those days. And the last couple of starts for him has been double-digit hits, and that's not a usual thing based on what we've seen from how Kyle has pitched this year. So I think you take lessons in all different shapes and sizes. And for Kyle, maybe it's just some minor adjustments and tweaks. He throws a lot of strikes. He only walked one guy today. He hit three batters, but he only walked one guy. And when you do throw a lot of strikes and you're around the plate and you have a team that knows how to handle the bat like the Giants, you know, some of the results can be some bad ball luck. And I think that Kyle was a victim of that a little bit today as well.
All right. What about Darno? You talk about guys that are just quietly getting it done. Darno is one of these guys as well. He had three hits today, two RBI to help the Braves win, but he's also been just quietly getting it done.
He has, and the Braves catching duo of Travis Darno and William Contreras have been the most productive group of catchers in all of Major League Baseball. I mean, another home run for Travis, which is just something he and William have both been providing, is a whole bunch of long balls, also a lot of RBIs. They're approaching 20 home runs and 50 runs knocked in as a duo behind the plate, as a platoon. You look across all of baseball, those two numbers for any catchers in all 30 teams, they lead, and it's not even close. And the Braves catchers are on pace for a 41-homer, 110-run batted-in season. You'll take that. Even if it's two guys splitting the time, you will take that production out of any position. And Travis handling the staff, what William has done, I think, is really step forward and, you know, find himself as a well-rounded catcher. It's not just offensively his profile, but what they're both bringing to handling the Braves pitching staff is invaluable. And what a duo right now. I don't think there's one better in all of baseball.
Everything's cooking right now. I mean, even Goslin goes 2-for-4 in a spot start because Arcia obviously has been doing more of the work at second base. So the bottom of the lineup, Arcia took over for Austin Riley. We were really nervous when the roster was announced and they were giving everybody the day off, and they still pulled it off, Grant.
Yeah, no Acuna, no Riley, no Duvall, obviously no Ozzie, and no problem for the Braves to take 3 out of 4 from the Giants. And Riley got himself a little bit banged up on that diving play a couple of nights ago where he almost went down the stairs into the Giants' dugout. Yeah, so they were just trying to rest him up a little bit. He did come into the game late last night, and I think the idea was just to give him an extra day because the Braves have got a pretty big series coming up and not as many off days as they make the run toward the All-Star game. So you'll take the rest where you can, and you'll certainly take a win on a day where you don't have, essentially, again, just throwing Ozzie Albies into it, 4 of the regulars that you expect to be contributing to the Braves on a nightly basis.
Tomorrow, what do you expect with the return of Freddie?
I would expect there to be a lot of emotions, and it's going to be bittersweet. It's going to be, I think, just a wide range of reaction from, and I'm sure feelings that come with those. I expect there to be a very warm and very long ovation for Freddie Freeman when he gets his World Series ring, and I think that that's been earned. I mean, he left everything out there on the field. He gave everything he had to the Atlanta Braves. It's regrettable that the contract negotiations did not end up working out in a way where that partnership could continue, but, you know, this is a guy who, I mean, he took great pride in putting on that Braves uniform, and I think you've got to appreciate that. Now, the fact that he's put on another uniform now, and when you get into the game and maybe after that first at-bat, it becomes business as usual and you boo the good players for the other teams, maybe that's the way that goes. But I think Freddie Freeman has earned his place in Braves lore, and I hope that, you know, fans take a moment to, even if you're exhausted from hearing about it and you kind of had put it away and thought we were done with it, you know, maybe once you get through this, there'll be a little bit of catharsis. But I know for Freddie, it's probably going to be pretty strange. I mean, he's going to be, you know, hoarded by media, you know, myself included, and dozens and dozens of other people. Sunday Night Baseball is going to be in town. So it's going to be a very, very big weekend. There's a Fox National game on Saturday as well. And, you know, he's coming back to Atlanta and visiting as a visiting player and in that visiting clubhouse for the first time in his career. It's going to be totally different. But overall, mixed emotions. I expect it to be mostly positive, and I think it's going to be kind of an exciting moment, if you will, for, you know, maybe everybody to take a look at what they've accomplished and be proud of that.
Grant, I'll never forget, like, literally crying my little eyeballs out as a 9-year-old when I saw Tom Seaver in a Reds uniform up at Shea. It is a surreal experience for some, a lot of Braves fans. Just real quick, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but Mark Bowman, who covers the Braves for MLB.com, he kind of went back and revisited the timeline of the negotiations. Mm-hmm. Does that jibe with what you heard, that basically maybe Freddie should have, in hindsight, been a little more proactive with what his agent was saying to the Braves?
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. And that's been the prevailing, you know, thought and the prevailing information that has been discussed, is that, you know, they kind of went hard in an ultimatum style fashion to get Freddie his contract. And it was above and beyond anything that the Braves had previously discussed or were interested in offering or were able to offer, or however you want to word that. I feel like that's pretty much the story there. I talked with Alvin Gonzalez of ESPN. He's going to be writing a big piece that'll be coming out this weekend with Sunday Night Baseball being in town. And that's one of the things he asked me, is like, where do you feel like people point the blame in all of this? I mean, who's really responsible for Freddie Freeman not being a Brave? And my answer to him was, I really feel like it's on Freddie's representation. I feel like they kind of overplayed their hand, and as a result, moves were made, and it was not the ones that they were anticipating.
Grant, great job as always. Braves win again today, guys. 3-4 from the Giants. Good team. And we're in front of them as far as the wild card is concerned. We still have a few more matchups with them, but then we've got the Dodgers coming in here tomorrow. It should be a fun, fun weekend. Grant McCauley, thanks again.
Thanks, guys.
Mike, hindsight's 20/20. If you could look at this again and say, hey, we want to work through this stuff with Freddie, it may have worked out differently. But I also think Alex Anthopoulos had to move. He could not wait. And when you have an agent who's threatening to say, well, you guys won't do anything.
Right.
Okay, well, then this is your learning lesson.
Yeah, in the Mark Bowman article, I think a lot of Braves fans have heard about this. But, yeah, Freddie literally kind of getting, like, the holy cow, going to his, you know, talking to his dad, like, I'm not going to be a Brave anymore. Because to your point, just as Mark Bowman lays it out, you know, you didn't really give you – maybe you needed to have a clean, clear, crisp idea of what exactly your agent was going to say to the Braves. And then, you know, because at the end it kind of made Freddie look like Babe in the Woods. Like, what, you don't know what your agent was doing?
Yeah. All right, man. We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. When we come back, though, top three at 6, you'll hear from the coach of the guy who could be the number one overall pick and the number one overall high school quarterback makes a decision.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John and Hugh, morning 6 till 10.
I don't know, and there was some speculation of whether or not that the Hawks.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.